97.5 The Fanatic.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome.
Oh, it's good.
JT.
How we doing, D?
We're broadcasting from the Xfinity studio, only from Comcast. Connor Thomas producing the show. Joe Torti in the house. What's going on, man? How was your weekend?
Great weekend. Everybody's great. It's cold here. Starting to rain outside. So if you're outside and you're driving, please be safe, because all of the stupid people come out as soon as the first three raindrops start falling. So just be careful out there. Don't be one of the stupid people. Be aware of the stupid people out there.
So it's cold, but you came in here with just a sweatshirt on.
Well, you know.
I do know.
You know,
I do not deal with the cold well.
No. I'm warm by rage.
My jacket.
Yeah, that's my internal
warm
fire.
By rage, yeah. That is rage.
Right, exactly. Yeah, exactly. I can't rage on that level. Like, that's a different level of anger. But yeah.
All right.
Absolutely. It's good to be here, man.
Hey, man, listen. You see the game last night?
Yeah, saw the game last night against my my pick for the NBA champion preseason.
And you had Milwaukee and the Clippers in the finals.
Uh-huh, I did, yeah.
Doesn't mean that they will not be there, but last night the Sixers took them down.
Man, oh man. And a complete effort by one Ben Simmons. A complete effort. With Embiid on the court, too, by the way.
Yeah.
I was told that can't happen.
Mm-hmm. They both had 26.
Oh, they did?
So what did you think? Complete game, 26, 12 rebounds, 10 assists, 42 minutes and 43 seconds.
Played
the two things
game.
That stood out for me. 12 makes, but he shot 22 times, and that was the team high in field goal attempts. Only 3 turnovers against Kawhi Leonard and the L.A. Clippers. And I bring that up because, as we talked about with some of the callers earlier, Joe, we remember the regular season games where he had an 11-turnover game and an 8-turnover game against Kawhi Leonard and the Toronto Raptors last season. He played a great, great ball game last night. Sixers got a good win. And I wasn't overreacting to the win, the 34-21, but I felt like that win was needed, not just because of what it was, but just for the morale of the team going into the All-Star break, the final game, 3-game winning streak, continuing their winning ways. They have their first game back on the 20th, which will be back at the center against the Brooklyn Nets. You know how it is. You just need to feel good about yourself going into the break, and that's what they did last night.
It's true. I would have felt a little bit better than I do, even if that game were on the road and you were able to get it done on the road, because you just look back at their splits.
You're like, picking. You're picking.
Oh, if they're home? If they're home, they win. If they're on the road, they lose. Now, having said that, I didn't think they'd be able to hang with this team in the preseason on any floor.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that you get a complete performance from your two stars, the 3 turnovers, I'm glad that you brought that up, because that was one of the things that absolutely jumped off the screen to me, was that, you know, look, young players, we watched enough hoop to know that it's pretty rare that you see somebody come in, struggle as a young player over and over and over again, and then there's just a switch that flips and all of a sudden this player's great, right? Young players will give you good games and really bad games, especially in terms of turnovers and things like that. And that just kind of continues, but you hope as they develop and as they mature, you get more of the good games than the bad games from a turnover perspective. I'm not saying that Ben Simmons is never going to have an 8-turnover game again or anything like that, but the fact that against an elite-level defender in Kawhi Leonard, you only turn the ball over 3 times, that gives me an incredible amount of hope for his development in that area of his game in particular.
It does, man. And we knew he stepped his game up defensively anyway this season. He's going to be an all-league defender, and deservingly so. But last night against that team with both Kawhi Leonard, he took that challenge on. He did not want to switch off. He was fighting over the screens, making sure that when he got around a couple of times, and I'm picking like you were picking. I was picking a couple of times last night with his defensive play, but it was only just because he was a step behind, allowed Kawhi to get to his spot. But then I'm like, damn, what are you talking about? It's Kawhi Leonard, and he's still going to do whatever Kawhi Leonard does. Ben's playing really well defensively. Shut up.
Right, well,
to myself.
And Kawhi's done that to a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
Not saying that Ben's out of shape, because Ben's in shape, but he's playing the entire game.
He does this all the time. He doesn't sweat.
That's what I'm saying. It's crazy. So really, really impressive performance by him in particular. And it was a needed win heading into the All-Star break.
Thank you.
This was a group that needed some positivity in the last like week or so here heading into this break. So a way to end it on an exclamation point.
What did you think of the Al Horford benching and Furkan Korkmaz in the starting lineup last night for the Sixers? Horford 27 minutes and 56 seconds off the bench.
Well, we've been talking about shaking up the starting lineup for a long time, and Al Horford to the bench seemed to be the neatest, most natural way to make that happen. You weren't going to send Embiid to the bench or Harris or Simmons. There's only so many directions that you could go. From an eye test perspective, now it's just against the Clippers, just against one team, and it just came at home. It looked like that could work. If you're not going to lose Al Horford for the season by having him play, you know, 26 minutes coming off the bench in more of a spell Embiid role, you see them together in spurts, but in practice, it's mostly him starting on the bench and you having kind of more shooting on the floor. It seems like that would work. Now, the question is Korkmaz going to continue this stretch of play that he's had here for the last 10 days? Is that going to continue as well? And that's kind of an unanswered question.
We don't know. Was that a blip in the radar last night, or was that what it is, and you just have to simply continue to bring him off the bench? Because when you're in the starting lineup, you give the opportunity to the defense to set things up to key in on you from the very start. And when you have two wing defenders like that and Leonard and George, it's going to be difficult for him.
For sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He was in the scouting report last night big time.
Oh, yeah.
Period.
There's no doubt about that.
Yep, absolutely. So before we get to Nate, Bill, Fred, Gerald, Jerry, one open phone line, 610-632-0975. I have to throw these at you. These callers are calling in to answer the question.
Okay.
Biggest positive through the first 55 games?
Biggest positive, I would say, is the continued development of Ben Simmons' other elements of his game. In particular, you think about the free throw shooting and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I know people wanted to see him shooting jump shots by now. I hope that they're just about willing to give up on that at this point.
For now.
The other parts of the game
for now
are coming together to the point where you can have confidence that he can help you. And for me, that's the biggest positive.
Biggest disappointment so far through the 55.
Joel Embiid gets hurt again. You know what I mean? Like, it seems like that's...
But he got his finger caught in the jersey.
I'm not saying it was his fault.
But it's just a continued thing.
It's just another thing. Yeah.
Right.
And that's disappointing. You know, the injuries in general you could point to and saying that you're not getting to see the team at full strength, so it's tough to really make a ruling on them one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I would say that's been pretty disappointing.
Your expectation for the second half of the season, 27 games remaining, 14 at home, 13 on the road.
I would anticipate that we have not seen any reason to think that their splits are going to change. I would anticipate them continuing to be really, really dominant, probably the best NBA team at home, period.
So maybe just two more losses.
Maybe two more losses at home, and then kind of more crazy. The same.
What's that, 36 and 38 and 4?
That's Jeez. Crazy, right?
No, 37 and 4.
37 and 4, yeah.
Wow.
Right?
Yeesh.
So, I mean, that does take the sting off of the fact that they're losing two-thirds of their games on the road. Right, like that kind of takes the sting off it a little bit. It still stinks, and you wonder what the ceiling for the team could be if they were just a 500 team on the road.
All right, 34 wins. Do they get to 50? 27 left. 34 wins right now. They need 16 to get to 50. 27 games.
And how many of those are home games?
14.
Yeah, they're going to get there. They're
going to sweep off 14 games.
No, because if they lose
12
two,
and 2.
If they lose 2.
12
right?
and 2. So you put them right now with the 12 at 46.
Right.
You just
so
need
you
four road wins
four.
At 13.
That's what I'm saying.
Doesn't look like it. No.
But no. 4 out of 13 is right on the money.
No.
Right? Because it's twice as many.
Yeah.
So there you go.
9 and 19,
though. Exactly what they've done the whole way. That's exactly what they've done the whole way. Of course that's what they can do.
Stinks.
That's garbage, but it is.
It's ridiculous.
But if you keep doing what you're doing, that's 50 wins.
That's a crazy split, man. 9 and 19 and 25 and 2, that's an outrageous split.
Is it any crazier than the first half? You know what I mean?
No, but I needed to improve. Oh, man, 610-632-0975. All-Star weekend, I'm
yes.
not going to be on. You'll be on before All-Star, but I have to ask you this. Favorite All-Star moment, whether it's dunk, three-pointer, the game, favorite All-Star moment. If you don't have it, we'll come back to you.
The one that I had.
I have Vince Carter because it's the 20th anniversary of his dunk.
Tremendous one.
Phenomenal.
Did you see on Twitter the Kobe MJ conversation during the All-Star game?
Year two in New York?
Yeah.
I remember it. I didn't see it, but I remember it.
That's one of my favorite ones because of all the attention that got pulled to it afterwards. Because people at the moment like didn't really know what was up. And then the video came out afterwards. It's like, oh, okay. That's like two kindred spirits, man.
19 years old, not a starter.
And talking to MJ.
Not a starter. The fans just voted him in.
Yeah.
Said, we need this.
He can dunk.
Yes.
That's right. That's
we need this.
And I mean, Vince Carter, like that. Anytime I have to tell you the truth, D, and I'm not just saying this because you said it. Anytime I think of the All-Star game, and I don't know why this is. Anytime I think of the All-Star game, Vince Carter's the first name that I think of. I'm not just saying
not Jordan, not Dominique.
No, when I think of the All-Star, because look, this is with all due respect to Vince Carter, right?
Yeah.
If I'm thinking of, like, Dominique's one of the most ferocious dunkers I've ever seen, and then obviously MJ had
robbed in 88.
I agree.
Go ahead.
Had much bigger fish to fry than the All-Star game.
Yes.
With all due respect to Vince Carter, those are some of the top Vince Carter memories or things that he's doing on All-Star weekend.
Man.
Like that was his weekend.
I was saying at Dunk Contest, as I was telling people, when we got Nate coming up, Brian knows this, Gerald, Bill, Fred, that the fact that this man, he had people not reacting after the other dunks when he put his arm, his elbow
up
through
the
rim. He had people not reacting to a free throw line dunk with two hands.
I mean, like,
come on.
Like yawn.
Yeah, it was
come
like,
on, man.
How, are
something cool.
How are we supposed to react to that? Was that cool? No, it wasn't as cool as the other ones, but no one else can do that.
See, that's why it's so hard. Like,
man.
You know, you uncork your really good stuff, but then people always think that there's some next level to what you can do next. And Vince has to like go to the people and be like, yo, do you know how physics work? Like, that's all I have. Like, that's everything that I can do.
And you know how they like come back and do it again? No. No, no, no.
No, no, no.
No, no.
It's a new thing.
He emptied his bucket right there, and that was all he needed to do ever. Don't even ask him. It's disrespectful to ask him to come back and defend his crown.
Did you see the NBA on TNT build your all-star roster? Did you see this thing?
From this year?
Yeah, build your all-time all-star roster, and it's got, like, all-time players, and they rank them by tiers, you know, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and you got 15 points to put
it
together.
Oh, yeah, like the money, yeah, $15, yeah, yeah. Okay.
Ridiculous mistake has broken this game for this one.
What is it?
They have Kevin Durant as a one-pointer.
Huh?
Right, that's what I said.
I'm about to put a Brooklyn Nets hat on right now. What?
They got Vince Carter as a three-pointer. And I'm like, I need to know more. Is this just like
is that because
building
of
your team?
Contest?
Or is it just for All-Star weekend you have to put together?
Yeah, that's
group.
Absurd. I Vince Carter, as much as we're going off on how great he was, he's a
two
one.
2 points better than Vince Carter.
He's a one.
Kevin Durant.
Kevin Durant is
come
the
on,
three.
Man.
Let's be real. 610-632-0975. I want to tell you guys about how you can be a player in esports. Want to learn how to be a real player in the esports world? Come out to Nerd Street this Friday from 4 to 6 for the Path to Pro Pep Rally. If you're a fan of the Overwatch League and you think you or your kids have what it takes to be a gaming pro, this is the event for you. You have a chance to meet someone in esports, executives from Nerd Street, World Gaming Network, and even some players from the Houston Outlaws and Philadelphia Fusion. That's the Path to Pro Pep Rally this Friday from 4 to 6 at Nerd Street. 908 North 3rd Street in Northern Liberties. The event is free. We'll see you there. Let's go to the phones. Let's check in with Nate in Southwest, who's been hanging on. Joe Torre, Devon Givens, Connor Thomas. We're with you until 10 here on the Fanatic. What's up, Nate?
Yo, bro.
Yo.
I will get caught when y'all doing the switchover, though,
right? Yeah, you got to call 15 minutes earlier, man. You'll be good to go.
I'm sitting here like, oh, I'm trying to go smoke my cigars. I'm like, Joe, don't ask another question. And then, look, when I'm thinking about to get on, you like, yo, let me tell you how to be a gamer. I'm like, are you kidding me, bro? Listen, man, I'm going to make mine quick because I'm about to walk into the cigar bar. Look,
yeah, they're listening. They can wait. They're listening. They know you're coming in.
Yeah, this is what it is. What it is the adjustment was made last night. So that's why we look like we look. For people to keep saying, why can't we do this every night? Brett Brown just made the adjustment last night. If this was made a couple of weeks ago, like we've been saying, maybe we've been playing like this for the last couple of weeks and not losing on the road. But he finally got it together, put him on the bench. Al came off. It was a plus. He was a plus, and then B was a minus while he was on the floor. I don't know how that happened, but that somehow happened. But anyway, it happened, and we played good. I don't think Korkmaz is going to start anymore. I think it'll probably be Glenn Robinson Jr. I mean, Glenn Robinson III, young big dog, might be in the starting lineup from now on. And maybe Korkmaz played better coming off the bench anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Listen, my moment. Listen, 0-2 All-Star game in Philly. Steve Francis, Richardson, Jason Richardson, dunk contest.
Yeah.
One of the best dunk contests I've ever seen in my life live. And I ain't seen too many live dunk contests.
You were there.
Yeah, that was the top of the list, bro. And I'm like, yo, this dunk contest. No one ever thought that Steve Francis could dunk like that. I'm like, this
I
dude.
Did.
I didn't. For his size, he was jumping out the gym.
Yes, he was.
You know what I mean? I wish he wasn't where he is now, but that was a classic for me, man. And one last thing, bro. You said you're not working in March for the Phoenix game, but you know where I'll be. I got that jersey in hand, so let's get ready, okay, bro? You know what I mean? You already know what I like to do when I'm down there, bro. So let's get that right and get it ready.
All right, Nate.
I'm coming down with the family, cousin. You know what I mean?
He knows the family, but thanks, man. Appreciate it. He knows. But that dunk. So I had an opportunity, of course, to go. We get a chance to cover it.
Yeah.
But I also had an opportunity to go to Chicago. I just didn't want to go because it's cold. I don't feel like dealing with that.
It's cold.
And to be honest, yeah, because
It's cold. Yeah.
Yeah, it's cold, and it was another reason. Whatever. But. So, Nate saying that and seeing that dunk contest live and how memorable that one was with Josh Richardson and Steve Francis here in Philadelphia, a great, great showdown between the two, it makes me want to go to the... But first of all, I think Derrick Jones Jr. is going to win this one. Derrick Jones Jr., Chester native. It's ridiculous that Dwight Howard is in it. Okay?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, seriously. Aaron Gordon, yes. And Pat Connaughton, I think he's an in-game dunker. I don't know what he is he's a very good in-game dunker. I don't know what he is as a contest type dunker.
So you don't think the reason that they're doing it is because it's been kind of set, like the stars don't dunk now. You know,
yeah,
like, do you think that's why they have Dwight Howard in there? It's so that there's some kind of crossover between like, hey, I know who that guy is versus like some people who are casually
it's
turning
ridiculous.
Into only know LeBron and KD and whatever.
You absolutely ask Derrick Jones Jr. You absolutely ask Aaron Gordon. Zach LaVine took the 3-point contest. He said, I heard him, I listened to him with JJ Redick on his podcast.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
He said he would have been in the dunk contest. He would have done everything had he been voted an all-star. He was not, so he just took the 3-point contest to represent the organization for the city. Okay, fine. Then find Ja Morant and ask him to do it.
I'm with you.
Okay.
I gotcha.
Yeah. Do that.
I'm trying to think. Who was the guy who... Like, Desmond Mason is the guy that I was thinking
Desmond
of.
Desmond Mason,
like,
that was tough.
The dunker, though.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's like what he was in the league to do.
Yeah, that was tough.
The dunk contest.
Yeah, that was tough. No question. 610-632-0975. Gerald in Los Angeles. Let's go to Gerald next on the Fanatic. What's up, G?
Hey, Devon. How you doing?
Doing good, man. Hanging out with Joe. You know, all our people. We're all good.
Yeah, good to speak to both of you gentlemen. So first off, Devon, man, come on, man. You can't do the left or right through your leg tomahawk.
Not anymore. Not after the ACL.
Yeah, he had an injury, other than that.
Okay,
he had it.
I just wanted to check because I was pretty sure you were part of the bedroom, back of the door, dunking Hall of Fame. Like,
oh, this. No question. No question. Okay, and gee, let's make it real. And the hamper in the house.
If there was any laundry in the house, forget it.
Oh, yeah. No question. The hamper in the house where you roll the side. Oh, come on, man.
Let me
tell you about that.
I knew I saw your Nerf bust at the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, man. You know. Just let the people know, G. Let them know.
Yeah, of course. And now, you know, I've been pretty tough on Ben. I saw something last night that was really encouraging. Now, don't get me wrong. Uh-huh. This last month, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, I got to applaud his effort and the improvement.
Uh-huh.
But last night what I saw was he went to go to the basket one time on the left side of the floor, and he turned and he couldn't get past Kawhi, who was sticking him. And he pulled up and shot like an 8-9 footer. Do you remember that play?
Yes.
That's what we need to see. I've never said he has to have a 3-pointer. He just has to be willing to shoot 8 to 12 feet when he's open or when it's in the flow of the game. So I don't see him shoot that shot as a straight jumper almost never. So that was encouraging to me to see that. Now, I do have a question for you. Where was this game last night?
Philadelphia.
Okay, and what have they been doing in Philadelphia all season long?
25-2.
They've been beast mode. The question is really going to be, What do they do on the road? I really wish they had had a road game before the All-Star break to try and get this hump off of their back. Because the truth of it is, that question is still right there in front of them.
It is, man. And, you know, be it as it may, they had the opportunity with the four-game road trip. They fell short. And they came back and took the three at home, as they should. And I agree with you that they need the ones on the road. But going into, that's why I said going in two, making sure they got these out of the way, going into the All-Star break with some good momentum, feeling good about themselves. This was good for them. Now, we'll see, because their first road game is on a Saturday night after the All-Star break in Milwaukee against the Bucks. Jay, give us your All-Star moment.
Oh, man, I got to be honest, man. I think I got to say Doc with that dunk. And the reason is, when Doc was dunking like that, he was literally writing the blueprint. Everybody else kind of has followed his and other people's blueprint. Doc was the guy that people were just like, how the heck is that person? We never even thought of doing that.
Got you, man.
Hey, one more last quick thing. Coach Brown finally figured out that he needs to change the alignments, and I'm really happy to see that.
Yeah, I gave him credit for what he did last night. G, thanks for the call, man. As always, really appreciate it. I thought he pressed the right buttons last night, Joe, with what he did. Furkan Korkmaz, good idea. Did not necessarily work, but he fixed it by going Glenn Robinson III at the start of the second half.
Quick change there.
Absolutely.
Sure.
610-632-0975. Fred, Brian, Bill, Mike. Two open phone lines, guys. If you want to jump in, the lines have been full. Your opportunity to get in. Joe Torre, Devon Givens, Counter Time was produced, and we're here until 10 on The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Here is Vince Carter with his first stop. Let's go home. Let's go home, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go home.
Hey, that is a reverse 360 going against the grain. That is unbelievable.
This building just exploded.
Uh-huh. That dunk was so good. It made Kenny Smith, that was the best Kenny Smith's work ever.
He peaked right after that?
Yeah, he peaked right there.
Oh, man, dude.
Yes. No, that was
it's
fantastic.
It's over.
And that's what, right? That's what he did,
it's
right?
It's over.
That's exactly what he did.
So awesome.
610-632-0975. Joe Torre, Devon Givens with you. We have three open lines. Some people dropped off if you want to try to sneak in. 610-632-0975. Connor Thomas is producing. We're here with you until 10 o'clock together. Joe runs solo until midnight here on The Fanatic. Man, that was fun. That was fun.
Really fun. I mean, you think about all-time fun NBA careers.
Uh-huh.
Vince Carter's, like, way up there. When you think of, like, his like, career slideshow, super fun. Like, there's a lot of good stuff. International play, obviously.
Frederick Weiss.
Yeah.
Get it.
Yep.
The dunk over Alonzo Mourning with the Nets.
I mean, he had a great look against the Sixers, like in the shot that went in. You know, the Kawhi Leonard shot that went in, his shot went out.
Yep.
That was Kawhi, like, you know, 10 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
15, maybe. My God, I'm getting old now.
Love it.
It's crazy.
Crazy. 610-632-0975. Let's head back to the phones. Let's check in with Bill in Schwenksville next on The Fanatic. What's up, Billy?
Hey, guys. How are you? Devon, I'm going to try to, and guys, I'm going to try to really last night, you know, I'm not getting too crazy like you guys said, and you know, but this is what I saw again. The Horford thing is past due. He's better suited, even though they're paying him that much. He's supposed to back up Embiid, and when he comes off that roll of the bench, he's first or second. The ball's sort of going through him. You know, at the top of the key, he's a better passer than Embiid. He's got actually better post up moves than Embiid, and it's just a better position. Thibodeau should start defensively, because the thing is, the pick and roll last night, Devon, I've always told you this, it finally was clicking last night with Embiid and Simmons. And Simmons, for once, wasn't looking to kick it out and kind of throw that lazy pass. He saw the defender wasn't cutting through, going under, and he laid it in. And that's the thing with Simmons. And lately, like I said, I don't care about the threes. I'd like to see the outside shot at his little 10-footers. But as long as he finishes and gets to the foul line, and that's what the key is. If he gets to the foul line and he can hit his free throws, because he was going 82 feet and then stopping and not trying to finish because he didn't want to get fouled. If he goes 84 and gets fouled and breaks the layups, there's no stopping him. And Embiid last night getting deep position was huge, and deciding to make the move and kind of demanding the ball. That's huge. And if I'm Brown, at least twice every time Embiid's in, he should sprint as fast as he can, get as deep as he can, and get post-up moves. But, like I said, I think, Richardson, if we can get him penetrating and this and that, it makes a big difference. Like a Korkmaz, I think that was a fluke, but, and this and that, and Ben can kind of contribute. But I think Horford coming off, that gives you a legitimate score coming off the bench. And opposed to a player who kind of calms things down. And he doesn't play stupid, I don't like him at the three-point line. I like him 15, 16-foot, those little jumpers. But you could see the difference last night, like I said, with him not in and Thibault. And Thibault's not like a shooter, so Simmons took it upon himself. On those pick and rolls, if I'm not dumping it down to Joel, I'm going to lay it in. And that was huge.
It was, man. Bill, do you have an all-star moment?
I'm going to give him a two, but I'm going to give him my number one. Of course, I'm an Iverson fan, so when he lit it up for like 20 in the fourth, he brought him back to East and got the MVP. That was phenomenal.
Yep.
But my favorite was Magic Johnson when he came back from AIDS.
92.
Just from Isaiah and, the whole guys embracing and Rodman beating him up. And, that was just like Barkley just beating him up and knocking him down. That was awesome.
It was. Everyone took their turns. Took their turn defending him.
Yeah.
And all that stuff. Then he hit the big shot. Bill, thanks so much, man. Appreciate the call. 92 in Orlando. 91-92 in Orlando.
I remember it. Yeah. Awesome moment for sure.
Absolutely. What'd you think of pick and roll with the team last night, getting those guys involved?
So I think that we have seen, from a results standpoint, the more that Brett Brown has been willing to embrace the pick and roll, and not just with the same couple people, but with a variety of different partners, the better it's been.
Yes.
It seems like there's a book on how to defend the Sixers, and the pick and roll is not a part of that book because it hasn't been a part of the Sixers. I think that is the biggest adjustment. Horford to the bench or not, I think offensive philosophy-wise, we're willing to embrace what everybody else in the NBA is doing, screen and roll game with everybody on the floor. I think that's a big-time positive for Philly.
Absolutely.
Really big.
Josh Richardson, Tobias Harris, that's where they really thrive, that pick and roll situation, and continue to do it. They have enough guys to go out there and do it as well. Let's go to Brian in Plymouth Meeting. B, what's going on?
Yo, guys, how's it going tonight?
Hey, Brian.
What's up, man?
Got a bunch of Sixers points I'm going to run through, but real quick first. Witnessed a crazy single-car accident on the way out of the game last night, and I got to give a shout-out to all the Philly fans that jumped into action.
Single-car? Wow.
Yeah, it was like on the 10th Street by the Link coming out of the Jetro lot, and I get really frustrated with Philly people, Philly fans, and how we kind of undermine our teams with the negativity, but there's no place I'd rather be. Like, people jump into action. I've been a lot of other places where people would just put their hands in their pockets and look on with something like that, and like 20 people just ran up and got this guy out of his car, and I hope he's okay.
Yeah, good on them.
So positives, love the fact.
Oh, no.
That is so fitting that Brian's phone cuts
out. That's a negative right there. Let's put him on hold and see where we go from there.
He might have done the cheek mute. I do the cheek mute all the time.
Yeah. Oh, that's a good one. I mean? Yeah. So we got to get Connor to kind of check that one out and see if Brian is ready to go again.
Yeah.
The cheek mute. Yeah, how about that? The technology.
If you laugh or if you smile or something like that, the cheek moves, it goes bang, gets you. So.
All right, let's go back because Connor made sure he was good to go. Cheek mute. Brian, Plymouth Meeting. Yeah. What's up?
I got to hold my phone away from my face. Good call there, Joe.
There we go.
All right, so positive has been the fact that he is displaying why he is a budding superstar. I mean, the stuff that makes him really special is stuff that's like really, you know, it's not something that stands out to average fans. And the fact that he is really stepping up and showing what he is going to be, that's a huge positive. Jason Richardson, as I said on Twitter to you, Devon, like he's given this team something that it has not had this whole run, which is a small, quick guard that can defend the point of attack. You know, every time they've tried to fill that hole, the guy has really not come through. So,
and just to be clear, to let people know, you said outside of Ben, Richardson is the most irreplaceable player on this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think last week I sent you a tweet like how we were getting torn up by Toronto small guards, Trae Young, obviously, Miami small guards. Like, as soon as he went out, we went on that, you know, we just were getting killed because other teams, our defense, as soon as you lose that point of attack, the defense just falls apart. A negative, like, Al Horford, but it's not so much, like, people get way too caught up in, like, the pay and whatever, but I'm really disappointed because he's a smart, experienced player. He had to know what he was getting into when he signed this mega deal, and it's not even a bad thing for him to play less minutes, extend his career. He's getting very well played, be able to step up when Joe is not available. You know, and I really do want to see him, except for, like, matchups like the Bucks. I would prefer to see him move to the bench. I would definitely prefer to see Thybul or someone other than Korkmaz be the guy replacing him there, because you bring Korkmaz. Well, I mean, Korkmaz is not going to be a factor in the playoffs, let's be real.
Yeah, but, we know that. Yeah,
you know, but I don't, so I'd like to see Thybul get the first crack at that starting the game, because, you know, you've got other guys that are going to get touches and look to score right off the bat. And you just get a guy that's in there for 3-and-D purposes.
Yep.
Would be ideal to me.
All right, man.
One other quick thing, though. With the road, you know, and something else I said to you, they're so three-point dependent. Like, the last time I checked, they were like 33% on threes on the road, 37 at home. Huge difference. And that's really, I think that's the root of the splits.
Got it, man. Listen, B, thanks for the call, man. Good seeing you last night. You stopped by the broadcast, me and Celestine.
Ah, very nice.
6 and 60. So, listen, Mike, Bill, Whistle. Hang on, guys. We'll get you when we get back. Joe Torre, Devon Givens. We're here with you until 10, talking some Sixers. Biggest disappointment through the 55. Biggest positives. Your expectation for the second half of the season. And your side, your all-star moment. Your favorite, right here on The Fanatic.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
Cannot. Oh, lovely. We're going to make it. 847, Joe Torre, 97.5, The Fanatic. I'm Devon Givens. Connor Thomas producing the show. 610-632-0975. I do have a question that I want to bring up. I want to ask you and the people.
Oh, yeah?
About this one. An air freshener in the car.
Okay.
Car air freshener question.
Okay.
We'll do that.
I'm intrigued.
9 o'clock hour. Start off. Yeah, I'll ask you that when we get back from that break. But let's go.
Do I need to put up the tier list maker? Do I need to get this?
We might have to. We might have to. There was an issue.
Oh boy.
Yes.
All right. Well, we gotta solve issues.
There was an issue. Yes, we'll do that. We'll do that. Let's go to Mike first on the cell. What's up, Mike?
Hey, what's good, guys?
What's going on, Mike?
I got a Sixers point and I got an all-star moment. My Sixers point is, even the lineup change, to me, I don't think it's going to matter, because the way the Sixers play at home, it doesn't really matter who's in the lineup. I think the biggest question is that if they can't get the number 4 seed, then the Sixers is done in the first round. No matter what lineup the Sixers think they're going to have, because they can't beat Boston and they can't beat Miami in that if they the four or
on the road, you mean?
Yeah, they can't. They can't. We are. It's already proven that the Sixers can't play on the road because they really don't got the leadership and they don't got a closer, which Jimmy Butler was the closer.
So Mike, I've been thinking about this. Let me ask you this because I think the Sixers are like better at home than they are bad on the road. Do we agree with that?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so like I don't know that they can win three games on the road, but. You only need one. So you're saying that they can't win one game on the road against any of those teams?
Well, I think even in the playoffs, I think a lot of times, even if you get that one road, do you really think the Sixers can win every home game? Because what happened last year?
Yeah.
They had Toronto. They had a chokehold on them.
Game three.
And they folded, right?
Game three.
So my thing is this.
So mad.
Who is not with
no,
the
No, game
Sixers?
Three they won. It was game four.
Game four they laid the egg.
So,
yeah.
Who is not with the Sixers? They don't got a bona fide closer. They don't. And don't get Richardson? No, come on. He can have one good game, but you need a bona fide closer in a series because certain players can get exposed. So that's why I believe if they don't get the four seed, they done in the first round. Because if they drop down to six, they done. They can't beat Boston. They can't beat Miami. They definitely can't beat Toronto. And you know they can't beat Milwaukee. And they don't got home court advantage. Now, if they get home court advantage, things can change. My all-star moment is I know everybody done said it, is the Vince Carter. But the reason why I say that is because I believe Vince was the first guy, because the dunk contest was kind of corny for a while. So the buzz was, when he came in 99, the buzz was, all right, this dude is that dude in the dunk contest, right? Just imagine all the superstars who were like front row, like Shaq, Kevin Garnett, Chris Webber. All them dudes was like front row. And he was like the first dude that made the stars like come front row and be like right there. So now if you look at the dunk contest now, you see the little stars, they there, they showing them. But I believe he was like the first one to get the stars to like be there. And if they had any other events, like they were going to make sure they were at the dunk contest.
Yeah, all those stars certainly. Give us your trivia. Yeah.
Yes. It's kind of a simple one, but I just wanted to see if y'all could guess this one. What year did the Chicago Bulls draft Tony Kukoc? And y'all have a good night.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it, Mike. What year? So I'm thinking 92 was the Olympics, the 92 Dream Team. He was already drafted. Because Michael and Scotty made it a point to go at him when they played Croatia in the Olympics. So I'm going to say, since that was 92, I'm going to say 91?
That was what my gut reaction said, but I didn't know if he immediately started playing for the team.
He did not.
So
it might have been 90? But I'm saying 91. You can look it up.
That's my official guess.
All right. I got the answer for you guys back here.
What is it?
1990.
Okay.
I said 91 first, 90 seconds, so I failed. But we knew what it was.
We knew the events around it.
Yeah, we knew that they played them in the Dream Team played them in the Olympics, and they made it a point to go at him.
As they should.
Scotty and Mike, they took turns defending him in that game. Like Ben took turns last night defending Kawhi and others. 610-632-0975.
Count on Ben for that.
You can count on Ben. All NBA first defense.
Ooh.
First team defense. Maybe second. Whistle in North Philly next on the Fanatic. Whistle.
Yo, what's going on?
Whistle.
Hey, Whistle.
What's happening?
Ain't too much, man.
I hear that.
Hey, you know what? I was just thinking, why the Sixers, right? They always grab stars at the end of their careers, like Chris Webber. How many years did he have in? Ben Robinson, how many years? Now they wouldn't grab Al Horford. But look over the years, how many times they've done that. Right?
Yeah, Glenn Robinson, Chris Webber, Al Horford in this case, as you mentioned.
Throughout the years, ever since they messed that Brad Daugherty trade and picked up, the Sixers has been a roller coaster for disaster.
Yeah, yeah. I hear you, man. I hear you, but listen, they have a The trajectory now, we hope, is good because they have the two stars. It's not even really about those other people that you mentioned, Al Horford, Chris Webber, and all of them coming in. It's about Embiid and Simmons elevating their play, elevating and lifting their team when they get to the postseason and getting past that second round.
But the Sixers always done that over the years. And Ben Simmons and Joel, man, Joel need to know, since they want to go to small ball, we going to go to Brody ball. And he need to stay from the dotted line where under the court. You know how they do the whole basketball court? I mean, basketball where the foul line at? Everything from below the foul line on down is me. And whatnot. He need to go back to that. The Sixers need to get a coach to go back to feed the big man. And.
What's your all-star moment, Ben, Whistle?
You know what? Ben need to grab the ball like Magic and Kareem just do. Grab the ball out the net when it's coming through. Say the offense made a shot. I mean, yeah.
Grab it, step out of bounds, and inbound it quick.
They need to run that.
All right. Appreciate it, man. Listen, thanks for the call. Grab it out of the net. Start the break. Well, start inbound to get the possession started.
Don't even worry about
it. Just grab it and go.
Yeah, just take it right out of the net.
New rules.
Yeah, just get it moving.
All right, man. We appreciate it.
You only have to do it a couple times, and then you know the league will adapt. You know, refs aren't going to call it every time.
Oh man, listen, Connor. Thanks so much, man. We know you got to step away. Nat Marlowe will be coming in to hang out with us for a little bit. So listen, man. Great work by you. Really appreciate everything. Joe Torti, Devon Givens with you until 10. Joe, until midnight. Nat Marlowe will step in as a producer.
They had Big Nasty at the end of his career, too.
Of course, yes, yeah. They did.
For 1 year.
I forgot about that.
They didn't even finish up in Philly.
Wow.
They had like a couple more years.
How about that? Yeah.
Yikes.
And air freshener question.
Yeah, I got to know this.
For the car.
I'm dying to know this.
For the car. We'll do that on the other side right here at 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.